so that it may be a holy temple unto the Lord, and an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 2, 21 and 22. Overpowered with terror, the priests and rulers had fled from the temple court and from the searching glance that read their hearts. In their flight, they met others on their way to the temple and bade them to turn back, telling them what they had seen and heard. Christ looked upon the fleeing men with yearning pity for their fear and their ignorance of what constituted true worship. In this scene, he saw symbolized the dispersion of the whole Jewish nation for their wickedness and impenitence. And why did the priests flee from the temple? Why did they not stand their ground? He who commanded them to go was a carpenter's son, a poor Galilean, without earthly rank or power. Why did they not resist him? Why did they leave the gain so ill acquired and flee at the command of one whose outward appearance was so humble? Christ spoke with the authority of a king, and in his appearance and in the tones of his voice, there was that which they had no power to resist. At the word of command, they realized that they had never realized before their true position as hypocrites and robbers. When divinity flashed through humanity, not only did they see indignation on Christ's countenance, they realized the import of his words. They felt as if before the throne of the eternal judge, with their sentence passed on them for time and for eternity. For a time they were convinced that Christ was a prophet, and many believed him to be the Messiah. The Holy Spirit flashed into their minds the utterances of the prophets concerning Christ. Would they yield to this conviction? Repent they would not. They knew that Christ's sympathy for the poor had been aroused. They knew that they had been guilty of extortion in their dealings with the people. Because Christ discerned their thoughts, they hated him. His public rebuke was humiliating to their pride, and they were jealous of his growing influence with the people. They determined to challenge him as to the power by which he had driven them forth and who gave him this power. Slowly and thoughtfully, but with hate in their hearts, they returned to the temple. But what a change had taken place during their absence. When they fled, the poor remained behind. And these were now looking to Jesus, whose countenance expressed love and sympathy. With tears in his eyes, he said to the trembling ones around him, "Fear not, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. For this cause I came into the world." The people pressed into Christ's presence with urgent, pitiful appeals, "Master, bless me." His ear heard every cry. With pity exceeding that of a tender mother, he bent over the suffering little ones. All received attention. Everyone was healed of whatever disease he had. The dumb opened their lips in praise. The blind beheld the face of their restorer. The hearts of the sufferers were made glad. Desire of Ages 161 to 163. Christ twice cleansed the temple. He twice cleansed Gideon's army, which is illustrating Adventism and